Prem Sukaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokopinath, Sham Kundradha Kundigiri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai, Navadip Tham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Jamana Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.6.51. 44, huh? All the way back to 44. Okay, that's what's up there. Tenasu chaturo vedans. Chaturbhir vadanar vibhu. Savya hrittikan somkaram. Chatur hotra vibhak. Vibhakshaya. Tenasu. Chaturo Vedams. Chatur Bhir Vadanar Vipuhu. Savya Hrittikan Somkaram. Chatur Hotra Vivikshaya. While we're thinking of it, I know that you're on an exact schedule, so I was told to go through as far as 61. That's 61 is tomorrow. So through 60, huh?
No, just 51.
Through 50.
44 through 50. Yeah, come back for a day off. Yeah, they sent that bolt to
me. No, they didn't send it to me. Okay. So through 50. Okay. Everyone gets a moment of silent meditation while I get to look at verses 44 through 50. Someone else can chant. 44. Tenaso chaturo vedam. Chaturo vadanar vibhu. Chaturo vadanar vibhu. And I shall set the world around. Got to hear, got an ardy pool. So gravity can some param. Shatu hotra vidikshaya. Chinaso chaturo vedan. Shatu hir vadanar vipuhu. Savya vitikan songkaran. Shatu hotra vipakshaya. Ladies. Tenasa chaturo vedam. Chatur hir vadanaya vipuhu. Savya vitikan sankaram. Chatur hotra vivakshaya. Atruhotra vivakshaya tena. With that body of sounds, aso he chaturaha, the four vedan vedas chaturbhihi, from his four vadanaihi, faces vibhuhu, the all powerful. Vyahritikan, along with the Vyahritis, the invocations of the names of the seven planetary systems. Bhu Bhuva Sva Maha. Jana Tapa and Satya. Saomkaran, along with the seed. Om Chaturhu Hotra, the four aspects of ritual sacrifice performed by the priests of each of the four Vedas. Vivakshaya, with the desire of describing. All-powerful Brahma made use of this collection of sounds to produce from his four Vedic faces the four Vedas, which appeared together with the sacred Omkar and the seven Vyahriti invocations. His intention was to propagate the process of Vedic sacrifice according to the different functions performed by the priests of each of the four Vedas. Putran adhyapayatans tu brahmarshin brahmakovidan te tu dharmo padeshtara swaputrebhya samadisham. Brahma taught these Vedas to his sons, who were great sages among the Brahmins and experts in the art of Vedic recitation. They in turn took the role of acharyas and imparted the Vedas to their own sons. Te paramparaya praptas, te paramparaya praptas, tat-tachishyar vritavritaihi, Chatur Yugesh Tatav Yashta Dvaparado Maharshihihi. In this way, throughout the cycles of four ages, generation after generation of disciples, all firmly fixed in their spiritual vows, have received these Vedas by disciplic succession. At the end of each Dwapara Yuga, the Vedas are edited into separate divisions by eminent sages. Shinayusha Shina Satvan Durmedhan Vikshakalataha Vedan Brahmar Shayogyasyan Vidhi Statu Tachoditaha. Observing that people in general were diminished in their life and their lifespan, strength and intelligence by the influence of time, great sages took inspiration from the personality of Godhead sitting within their hearts and systematically divided the Vedas. Asmin yapyantare brahman bhagavan lokapavanaha brahmeshajyar lokapalar yachito dharma guptaye parasharat satyabhatyam angsham sa kalaya vibhuhu avatirno mahabhaga Vedam Chakre Chatur Vidham. O Brahmana, in the present age of Vaibhashatamanu, the leaders of the universe, led by Brahma and Shiva, requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the protector of all the worlds, to save the principles of religion. O most fortunate Shaunaka, the Almighty Lord, exhibiting a divine spark of a portion of his plenary portion, then appeared in the womb of Satyavati as the son of Parashara. In this form, named Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, he divided the one Veda into four. Vigatarva Yaju Samnam Samnam Rashi Udritya Vargashaha Chatasra Sanghitas Chakre Manchar Manigana Iva. Srila Vyasadeva separated the mantras of the Rig, Atharva, Yajur, and Samavedas into four divisions, just as one sorts out a mixed collection of jewels into piles. Thus he composed four distinct Vedic literatures. Purport. When Lord Brahma first spoke the four Vedas with his four mouths, the mantras were mixed together like an unsorted collection of various types of jewels. Srila Vyasadeva sorted the Vedic mantras into four divisions, sanghitas, which thus became the recognizable Rig, Atharva, Yajur, and Sama Vedas. Om Jana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Shapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Vansha Kopatarudhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Nama Rama Rama Hare Hare. Well, the history is that Lord Brahma received the transcendental sound Omkar, and then he manifested from that all the various sounds of the Sanskrit alphabet. Then we get the from the four faces of Lord Brahma, the four Vedas, which appeared together with Omkar. Then there's some editing going on. This was before Facebook, so it was possible. And the literature's handed down, paramparaya praptas. Through the parampara system, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshaya. The imam vivashvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam vivashan manave praho manarikshakave pati evam parampara praptam imam rajarshaya vidhu. This is the system for receiving Vedic knowledge. The knowledge begins from Krishna himself, who's the source of all knowledge, and it descends. The speculative process is aroha pantha, to climb up and try to get knowledge bit by bit through a speculative and investigative process. But the Vedic method is to receive knowledge coming from Krishna himself, ultimately. And that knowledge descends, evam parampara prapta, in the parampara system. Parampara means one after another, one after another, one after another. The Krishna speaks to Brahma, Brahma speaks to Narada, Narada speaks to Vyas, and down it comes. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a mention, Shishya, Prashishya, Upashishya, disciples, their disciples, their disciples. In Chaitanya, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the same system was followed, parampara. This is standard, and nothing else is. There's no other system that we find in Prabhupada's teaching for the distribution and reception of Vedic knowledge. The system is, as mentioned here, evam parampara prapta. The spiritual master instructs his disciples, they instruct their disciples, they in turn instruct their disciples, and it continues. This at one time was understood by everyone. Now to say these things in some circles is disruptive and revolutionary. But this is what it is. We can't change it. We can't reinvent it. We can't go back on it. We can't speculate that something else must have been. This is it. Evam parampara prapta. The qualification of the disciples is also mentioned here. Generation after generation, who were vritta-vrittai, serious, fixed in their vows, to receive, to distribute the knowledge is a responsibility, and to receive the knowledge is another responsibility. To execute that responsibility, one has to seriously follow the principles taught by the spiritual master. Otherwise, how can he transmit these teachings to others? So one has to receive it responsibly and then responsibly distribute it also. Also inherent here is that no one can just hold on to his post or responsibility. However well one may execute it, no one can do it forever. No one can say that, well, if I don't do it, the next generation will mess it up, so I have to continue. Because every generation gets kicked out. Every generation gets kicked out. There are two ways of being kicked out. One is being kicked out by death. The other way is being kicked out before death because you don't see death coming and everybody else sees that you're practically there, so they kick you out. So better to go gracefully, knowing that this is my duty. I have some work to do for some time, and then I have to hand down that work to the next generation. That was Prabhupada's example also. Early on, in spreading his Krishna consciousness movement, he established a board of largely incompetent disciples, and entrusted to them the management of the Krishna consciousness movement. Largely incompetent, they were inexperienced, they didn't, Prabhupada had to show them how to hold a meeting, so many things they didn't know, but they were sincere disciples, and Prabhupada instructed them how to do things, how he wanted things done. Some of them did it very well, some of them did it not so well, but Prabhupada didn't hold back. Only I can do it. He could do it better than everyone, far better than everyone. But he knew that I'm not going to stay in this world to do it at my level of competence forever. And therefore I have to hand this work on to, you know, people who were, well, they weren't teenagers, but they weren't too far back, too far beyond teenage. Prabhupada didn't say, well, they're inexperienced, they're too young, they don't have graduate degrees, they haven't studied business or whatever else one might study. Whatever it is, I'm not going to be here forever, and therefore I have to pass this on to the next generation. That was Prabhupada's example. So this is a management principle, and it's a spiritual principle. Management principle, everyone in management knows that we have to appoint successors, we have to train shadows, as it were, proteges. We have to teach what we know to others. And then when they've got it to some percentage, not 100%, but some percentage, push them up. And the management wisdom is, make yourself, what's the word, unnecessary. Make yourself unnecessary, and so that you can go on to the next thing. Don't think, if I weren't the CEO, what would I do? If I weren't the department head, what would I do? If I weren't this, what would I do? There's plenty to do. Hand it over, and Krishna, or your fate, if you're not Krishna conscious, will show you what to do next. But don't hang on. Prabhupada criticized in the first canto the Dhritarashtras of this world, who literally Dhritarashtra means one who holds on to the Rashtra, to the kingdom. Can't let go. Dhritarashtra. Prabhupada, and the Dhritarashtra wanted to stay in the palace, even living like a dog, as Vidura said. Even living like a dog. Because where else will I go? Yudhisthira is feeding me. Yudhisthira is giving me a place to stay. What would happen to me if I didn't stay here? And besides, I'm the royal uncle of the Pandavas and whatever notion might justify that kind of degraded life. Staying at home comfortably till his last day. But fortunately, Vidura rescued him, and he got out. The Prabhupada said, back then there was one Dhritarashtra. He said, now there's there are Dhritarashtras in every home. Holding on, holding on. If I weren't here, what would I do? And if I weren't here, what would they do? They'd mess everything up. Prabhupada said, the politicians have a similar mentality. If I weren't here running the country, you know, what would happen? So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Detachment and knowledge and Bhakti Yoga. These are the treasures of the Krishna consciousness movement. Without Vidya, there's no movement. There's no Krishna consciousness. There must be transcendental knowledge. Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashita. By the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master, transcendental knowledge is manifest. And with Vidya, there must be Vairagya. Otherwise, what's the state of my Vidya? What kind of knowledge do I have? If I'm thinking, I'll live forever, I'm just indispensable, without me, nothing will go on. Vairagya, detachment. Because I have to leave this world, and therefore I have to prepare for leaving this world, not remain stuck in this world in some duty that I can't execute on and on anyway. I shouldn't be kicked out of this world dragging and screaming. I should go voluntarily. That's called Vairagya. And both of these become possible by bhakti yoga. Janayati ashu vairagyam gyanam chagyavatam. When there's bhakti yoga, then automatically vairagya and vidya follow. Therefore, bhakti yoga has to be performed very intensively, very strongly, very seriously, following the regulative principles under the order of the spiritual master, following the parampara system and not some concocted or attenuated or adjusted or imagined system. Evam parampara prapta. And the result will be vidya, vairagya. Otherwise, how are we different from everyone else? How is a Krishna conscious person different from everyone else if he doesn't have vidya and he doesn't have vairagya? If we look at, there's so many religious people in this world, but where is their vidya, where is their vairagya? And where is their bhakti yoga? So this is therefore a hallmark of the Varnashram system. There's compulsory vairagya. And compulsory vairagya. No one can just go on and on in family life, material life, forever. Brahmachari life, grihastha life, then vanaprastha life, then sannyasa. This is the Varnashram system. And Krishna consciousness is beyond Varnashram, which doesn't mean that in the Varnashram system, you have to have vairagya. And when you're transcendental, you become more attached and stay in material life. Janayati ashu vairagyam jnanam charyadahotika. Maybe I'll stop there and see what kind of comments or questions there might be. If any.
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. I was just thinking and seeing within my experience in Krishna consciousness that you're talking about this vairagya and understanding, well, we have to let go, and ultimately Krishna is in charge. So sometimes it kind of confuses the mentality of, okay, I am renounced, so therefore I am not responsible. You know, leave things, this is all Krishna's property. And
I'm renounced, but I'm not responsible.
Yeah, so.
And by that, we mean you were starting to explain?
Yeah, so what I'm, like in my experience, and even it happens to me on many occasions where I kind of confuse the two, well, okay, to be renounced, but at the same time not be responsible to take care of Krishna's property. It looks like that's another
sphere of mine. Renounce but not responsible. Okay. One can't renounce one's prescribed duties artificially. That's Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says you have to perform your prescribed duty and not be a false sannyasi, not be a false renouncer. To perform your prescribed duty for my satisfaction is higher than going off to the forest and pretending to be a meditator. So, yukta vairagya, to act in Krishna's service is vairagya. Is vairagya. Even those who are performing their householder duties in the spirit of detachment for the service of Krishna are, in one sense, vairagyas, because they're not attached, anasaktasya vishayam, because they're not attached to sense gratification. Now, that said, there comes a time when those duties are left behind. Prabhupada had not much sympathy for whimsical abandonment of wife and family. He had not much sympathy. He gave sannyas to young men, but there were other young men who just wanted to take sannyas as a convenient out from responsibility, and Prabhupada didn't award it. Sannyas is not just meant as a way to dump one's responsibilities. Now that said, there comes a time when one must give up. Either it's death, when Krishna's property will no longer be overseen by you, when those responsibilities, you'll no longer be there to execute. Either it comes by death, or it comes in advance of death, because you've thought about the matter and prepared. What's suitable for the grade school student is not suitable for the grandfather. The grade school student is expected to sit there in the class and recite and write and do all those things that a student does. If the grandfather's sitting behind a little desk in the schoolroom, you say, what is he doing here? Even if you're like, 12 years old and you're still sitting in fifth grade. What is he doing here? Do I have my ages right? Yeah. You're supposed to graduate. You're not supposed to stay at this position forever. You do your work, you do your work, you do your work, you do your work, you keep moving. Not that you stay stuck in one grade forever because I have my duties. You have to move on. whimsical, and therefore both things are Prabhupada teaches in Bhagavad Gita. One shouldn't whimsically give up one's prescribed duties. At the same time, one should be detached. And therefore, ready to give up my prescribed duties when it's time. Prabhupada gave the example that at 5 o'clock, you close your shop. The shopkeeper closes his shop, regardless of there may be more customers, whatever it is. He closes the shop because that's the program. We're open from 9 to 5, 5 o'clock we close the gate. Not that we stay up till midnight because maybe your customer might come. So, pancha shortam vanam brajet, therefore vanaprastha life, Prabhupada said, is compulsory. And it was interesting, there's a place in Bhagavatam, I didn't record it, Prabhupada was talking about, it was either Bhagavatam or it was the lecture I was here. Prabhupada was saying the young boys and girls, because that was everybody in the Krishna consciousness, young boys and girls, in the future that will become vanaprasthas. He expected that. Not that because they're young boys and girls now, they'll be young girls, you know, Peter Pan will stay young forever. I won't grow up. You will grow up, whether you like it or not. You'll grow, and then you'll dwindle, and then you'll die. So in the dwindling stage, if not sooner, one should give up, hand things over. And Prabhupada did that. He pushed it, practically speaking, on people who were not mature, not terribly experienced, not always expert, but young. They were the next disciples, and Prabhupada pushed it down to the next generation. He didn't hold on to it. Only I can do it. He didn't say it's my responsibility to, you know, look after all of these temples, manage the accounts, take the reports from each temple, oversee what each temple president is doing, hear about the problems and suggest solutions for all the different things that are happening throughout each center. No, handed it down. And the next generation may do it well or badly. They may sometimes need to be corrected. Better that they do it now while I'm here to instruct them and, you know, fire the retro rockets where needed. Is that okay?
Yes. Hare Bodh Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thanks for the nice class. Within the Varnashram system, everything is done in a timely manner. Marriage, family life, renunciation, and so forth. But in this Kali Yuga here, in that absence, everything is kind of confused. I mean,
everything and everyone.
Yeah. Can you say something about that?
Everything's confused in Kali Yuga, but that doesn't mean that we should be confused or keep things confused. Even if things are not timely, still, we should try to set things straight. Not that, because death will be timely. Death doesn't look and say, well, you know, he got married late and his youngest daughter is still 14 and all of this. Death doesn't give a damn. Go. But we have to take that into account in our scheduling. And time will not stretch because we started late. Something else. Yes, Shesha Prabhu.
I find it interesting that as you're speaking, about how that's the system, that your time is up. Because I think the thought is that, well, as you pointed out, what will happen afterwards, but if we have faith in the system that time is up for me to move on, and that that's known that people will be moving on, and that the system includes somehow or another to go on. Mm-hmm. Is how it works.
There's two things. There's faith. There's three things. Faith, inevitability, and training. First of all, there's inevitability. Whether I want it to go on or not, it's going to go on. I'm going to be out, and the next people are going to be in. That's not optional. That's going to happen. So there's inevitability. There's no question of any other way of things happening. That's how it will be. One generation gets kicked out, the next generation takes over. So inevitability is there. Then faith, yeah. Then training. Because it's inevitable, I have to train people. Because I'll inevitably be kicked out, or because inevitably I'll have to hand it over, I should be training people to do the work. They may be the best people, they may be whoever's available, but I have to train the next batch of people. Prabhupada wrote that to me. I believe he also instructed others, continue your prescribed duty and train others. Prabhupada wrote me a handwritten note, continue your prescribed duty and train others. So that's a must. Because it's not just continue your prescribed duty on and on and on. There'll be a time when you don't even want to do it anymore because, you know, it's painful, it's dull, it's routine. The thing that's a challenge for a 20-year-old is a burden for a 50-year-old. You don't want to carry it anymore. You may be totally out of touch. You're still thinking 1960s in 2020. And applying the old logic to, you know, that worked in the previous century. So in so many ways, it's a must to train the next people. Then you can have a little faith that I've trained some people and I'm still here also to advise them. So there's some reasonable amount of faith that they should know what to do. They're loyal, they're trained. If they're less trained, my faith may be less strong, but still I have to give up. Still I have to give up. If I've got strong, capable, well-trained men, I can have great faith. If I have so-so men, my faith may be less, but it's not dependent on faith. I have to go. And apart from that, it works the other way too, that I don't have faith in the next people that they'll do it right. Meanwhile, the next people are waiting for us to go because they don't have any faith in us anymore. That old guy, you know, he messed this up, they messed this up, and still they're holding on, and they think they know everything, and they won't give us anything. We're not the only people who have to have faith. I'm the boss, or I'm the leader, and I'm irrelevant. I think that, you know, it's without me, it won't go on. Meanwhile, people are thinking how to get around me and waiting for me to go. There was one, it happened to be about a GBC man. It could have been anyone in any position. He traveled a lot. And I spoke to one of the temple presidents in his zone years after he was no longer the GBC. He said, yeah, we had to do a lot to keep that man up in the air. Meaning, we wanted to do it. Keep him up in the air so that we could actually carry on the work in the zone. We were happy to fly him around. So while we're thinking we're indispensable, the next generation in whom we have so little faith are thinking, you know, they're counting the days. And I have faith in my powers, I have faith in my judgment. Meanwhile, I'm deteriorating. I'm physically deteriorating, my stamina is deteriorating, my grip on things is deteriorating, and I'm thinking I'm indispensable. That's Dhritarashtra. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, do you have an idea of why Prabhupada would name one of his disciples Dhritarashtra?
Do I know why Prabhupada named one of his disciples Dhritarashtra? No.
Is there something glorious about Dhritarashtra?
Yes, he's part of Krishna's pastimes.
Of course.
All of these people. Even as we know, Prabhupada named one of his disciples Mahamaya. She's here. And when Prabhupada gave her that name, devotees laughed. This was at Henry Street. Devotees laughed. And Prabhupada said, don't laugh. He said, Mahamaya is another face of Radharani. Yes.
Hare Krishna. So good to see you after all these years.
Sorry?
So good to see you
after all these years. If you hold that microphone closer, it will work better.
So good to see you after all these years.
Thank you. Gosh. Nice to see you.
I just wanted to share, you know, you mentioned Mahamaya.
Mm-hmm.
She told me how she got her name. It's amazing. She said she was sitting there about to receive her name, and she's thinking, my name should be Mahamaya. I'm in such Maya. And he turned around and gave her that name. Isn't that amazing?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I remember approximately 25 years ago in New York City, after the day after the Rathiatra, you gave class in the Brooklyn Temple, and the only thing I remember from that class was you said, what this movement needs is grandmothers.
Yes.
And I was just appreciating how it's come to that so much, you know, that, like you said, the young disciples, they will take Vanaprastha, or at least now there's some many devotees that have gone through this, that, and the other in both material life and in the spiritual movement, and that can try to pass on whatever they've learned. I just wanted to mention that.
Absolutely. The expertise in so many departments that the older devotees have is immense. There's so many things that the older devotees know that everybody else may or may not know. So handing down that wisdom, that understanding, that experience is the responsibility of the older devotees. But not running everything. Not that because I have the wisdom, I have the experience, I have the knowledge, I was the one who was instructed, I'm the only one who can do things. We have a godbrother, Shubha Vilas Prabhu, from Toronto. Some of you know him. I used to go visit him in Toronto. He was, he had quite a business, successful businessman. And then he said, he has a daughter and a son, I believe. He said, now I'm bringing them into the business. Father, the daughter and the son. Then I visited him again. After a year or something, he said, I'm coming in, I come in, but they're doing everything. Then it was like I come in 3 days a week, and then I don't go there anymore. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, all the complaints about, you know, where is their time in grihastha life for reading and chanting and this and that. The answer is at the end. If you can't manage it during, then at least there's supposed to be an end. And then the next program is hearing, chanting, preaching, the you know, focused spiritual activities. And let the next generation, you know, earn money and do all the whatever else may need to be done, manage. At a certain time, at a mature time, we have to focus more on these things. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevam, Marjanam, Vandanam, Dasam, Sakyamatnam. Shall we stop here? Thank you all.